And welcome to this week's episode of the On Sidelines podcast. I am your host, Matthew Richards. And this week's guest, we are talking to Loyola pitcher Stephen Still, who was kind enough to join us this week.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
And so, Stephen, I want to start by talking a little bit about your Loyola career and what specifically brought you to Loyola.
Yeah, Loyola was definitely not something that was on, like, you should say, a big board or like a top target for me. I really hadn't heard of it much. And then I was at a showcase where Coach Stephen Bruce, who's the former pitching coach here, was at. He saw me throw, was interested, and called me the next day and was pretty adamant about getting me on campus for a visit. And then a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I came, visited, talked to him, met Coach Kennedy for the first time, was able to tour the campus and our field. I was really blown away about like how pretty I thought the campus was, just the all red brick. And so, yeah, I had a few other offers come in, but ultimately I wanted to stay close to home in Louisiana, but I wanted to get out of my hometown. And then I just really liked talking to Coach Bruce over the phone. And then April that year, my senior year, I committed and then been here all 4 years now.
You talked about wanting to stay close to home. Where are you from?
I'm from Baton Rouge.
Awesome. Awesome. And so you are a senior this season, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So if my math isn't failing me, right, that means you committed here in the class of 2020.
Yes.
Was your freshman year,
yeah, so
right?
It was actually over the pandemic. So, like, our senior season had gotten cut short, like, middle of March, and then about a month later was when I committed. And it's kind of funny, like, in high school, you know, a lot of people do, like, signing days at the school, or you come down to the campus and visit. And I just had the PDF emailed over, and Coach was like, sign this and then just scan it and send it back to me. And I was like, all right, cool. Just got to do it from like the dining table at my house.
What was it like kind of that first semester when you did get on campus? And then how did that kind of affect baseball preparation for baseball season your freshman year?
I'll be honest, it was pretty awful, honestly. That fall, it's funny now being a senior, like walking around campus between classes and seeing like everyone here. Like, I could walk around on a Monday or a Wednesday at, like, 11 o'clock, you know, your most busy hour, and see, like, six other people in total, like, walking from one side to the other. So just you couldn't do anything. Half the other freshmen were in the other dorm, and so you couldn't – if you lived in one dorm, you couldn't go to the other dorm. So we could only see each other at baseball, and we couldn't really do much outside of campus because everything was shut down. So it was tough, but I was able to really focus on baseball and getting in the gym and just pretty much wake up, eat, sleep, baseball. So it was a blessing, but also kind of tough to go through.
I know after you were able to get here, we talked a little bit about kind of your freshman season and how that went for you. So could you tell us about anything that kind of stuck out about your freshman season?
It's kind of funny. I look back, I don't really remember most of it. It was such a whirlwind. Like, I was just so in over my head. But it was fun. I mean, I went from my fall, like I said, it was tough. You can't really do anything off the field and then on the field. I really struggled. Coaches told me in our exit meeting in the winter, like, you're probably going to be in a red shirt. And I was pretty disappointed in that. So then I was just back against the wall over Christmas break, went and put on about 20 pounds. And in January, we had about three inter squads. So I had three opportunities to really prove myself. Learned a new pitch, and that was pretty much like the decider. And then, I mean, I came out of the pen my first two games, so thrown in relief. And then the next week at practice, Coach Bruce was like, all right, our starters this week are Wyatt, Wes, and me and John, and another freshman. And we both kind of looked at each other like, oh, this is cool. Wasn't expecting it. And then so from then on out, I was just like, I'm just a freshman. A lot of these guys are a lot older than me, especially because of COVID. I mean, you had fifth and sixth year guys, so I'm like, don't lose the game for everybody else. So I was just kind of up there trying not to suck, in a sense. But it was fun. I learned a lot, and so it really was tough. I went through a lot of just, like, doubting myself and, like, worrying about, like, factors I can't control and, like, getting caught up in distractions. And so Coach Kennedy was, like, really, really hard on me my freshman year, just about like honing it in and focusing on the task at hand. And then we talked about that final game that season in the regional against Oklahoma City. It was probably my best game all year, and it was just kind of how it was when I came in January after the break. Like, we were backs against the wall. We'd lost the first game, and I was like, well, there's not a better time to just leave it all on the field and, you know, don't worry about anything else except executing what you can do in the moment. And I was able to do a good job. Unfortunately, we lost. It was a tough, crazy game, but, yeah, that was kind of the rundown of the freshman year.
I know kind of throughout your career, you've been able to kind of scatter your name all over the school's record books. I think the first record I remember you breaking was the strikeout record, right? The single season strikeout record. So how are you kind of able to hone your approach to be able to kind of break those records?
I think the way I was able to break it was when I broke the single season record, I didn't even know I broke it. I wasn't even worried about records. I think it was my sophomore year, the first time I broke the single season. And that game that I think I broke it in as well, it was conference tournament. We weren't playing good late in the season. We knew we really had to play well in order to make a regional to keep playing in the postseason. And we lost our first game in conference tournament, and then we turned around and had to play Mobile. We lost a night game and had to turn around and play Mobile at like 10 in the morning. And I wasn't thinking about anything except try to win this game. And it was probably my best game that year. I think I had 12 strikeouts, 7 innings, 1 run. But it was just like start to finish, just like locked in. And that whole season, early on, I was kind of struggling in a game that I threw really well. But in the beginning, was struggling, worried about internal factors. And Coach Bruce called a mound visit and was just like, you're too good to sit here and, like, try to think on the mound. Like, just throw. Like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, like, that's fine. He goes, like, I don't care if you fail, but fail at 100%. And so, I think I've taken that with me a lot. Like, it's me versus them. It's us versus them. And so, you know, you just got to attack every day. And if you lose, like, so what? You know, give it your all, 100%.
And so I know the strikeout record isn't the only record you have. I know you have the career strikeouts record, the career ERA record. And I know you recently broke the all-time school wins record. So what does it mean to be able to have your name next to all those records and be at the top of those leaderboards?
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, it doesn't bring you any, like, kind of joy or happiness. Like, in the moment, it's cool. It might make you happy for a second or two. But it doesn't really mean much in the moment. Like, it's cool that I'm doing all this, but I really just want, like, the team to win and us at the end of the year to win the World Series. But I think, like, looking back when I'm older, I can kind of, like, tell my kids, like, hey, go check those record books. Like, I know what I'm talking about, and just mess with them. But I think it's cool that, you know, maybe there's, like, someone recently who's done it, and we have some really good freshmen this year. And even there's going to be more really good players that are going to come through with Coach Kennedy here. So just to see those guys try to break the records and get close, like, I hope I don't hold them forever, because that means, you know, the school's doing good and the team's doing good and there's other people that come in. So it's cool to see your name up there, and obviously you want, like, teammates and other people to, you know, compete with it and try to break it.
And so let's talk a little bit about the team. I know you guys got off to a really great start to start this season. So what do you credit as kind of the big driver behind all your early season success?
Yeah, we started off really hot. I think we were 11-0 when we started the season. Just staying present in the moment. We know we have a good team. We know what we're capable of. We have good hitting, good pitching, outstanding defense. So it's about just staying in the moment, doing what you can do, you know, every play, like, make the plays that you can make. And that just puts you in a good situation to win. Coach K told us this weekend, if you stay focused on the task at hand, you have a shot at winning. You're not always going to win, but that gives you a shot at winning. If you focus on the distractions, and outside factors, and you let other things control what you can't control, then you have no chance. So, you know, we've lost games this year. We've won a lot, which is good, and I think it's the more we stay focused on the task at hand and just being present in the moment, it gives us the best shot to win.
And so what would you kind of say has helped you guys kind of keep constantly improving over the course of the season?
I think just showing up and, like, getting quality work in. Something we started doing this year is we all journal before our team meeting. We take 3 to 5 minutes. And it's, I mean, you could write about whatever you want. I mean, it doesn't even have to be about baseball if you don't want. But just some goals for the day. And, you know, Coach K really, like, reiterates that a goal is not like, oh, you know, I want to pitch 6 innings today, or I want to go 3 for 4 at the plate. It's, I want to have a good approach every time I step up to the plate. I want to, you know, keep positive thoughts in my head while I'm out on the field and limit negative thoughts. Like, your goals should be things that you can do yourself, and then external goals will just happen because of that. I think that's really big. We just, every day you can come in and you put pen to paper of what you want to work on, what you didn't do well, what you did do well, and that helps you, you know, really get your thoughts out there, and that way you're not so, like, clustered and chaotic in your head. Because I know a lot of times, especially with baseball, like, you can just get caught up in doing 10,000 different things, and maybe you're working a little bit here, working a little bit there, but you're not really, if you don't have a plan about what you're going to work on, you don't really know if you're going to get any better.
And so what are kind of some games that have stuck out to you about this season so far where you feel like everything has sort of clicked and come together?
I think a weekend that was really good for us was we played Middle Georgia State 2 or 3 weekends ago. We were able to sweep, which was really good. They're a good team with a lot of really, really good players. We were just able to stick to it. And I think all three were close games for the most part, and just stay on task. And, you know, when we give up a few runs or we get punched in the mouth a little bit, don't let it be a big, like, haymaker, knockout blow. Just take the punch, throw another punch. You know, if you stay in the ring long enough and you keep throwing punches, eventually you'll knock the guy out. So.
And so I know the season is coming closer and closer towards crunch time for you guys. And I know you have you guys end the season actually playing at Tulane, right? So tell me a little bit about those games and kind of how that serves as a way to punctuate the end of the season for you guys.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like, especially that last weekend of the season, because of the Zurich, the PGA Tour coming into town, we lose our field for parking. But playing at Tulane's cool. It's a nice field. Also, it's closer to campus, so hopefully a lot of students come out. But it's fun. I mean, William Carey, they're the closest team in the conference to us, so there's a little bit of a rivalry there. I've got a buddy that plays there, and so we like to text each other back and forth. But, I mean, it's fun, like, you know, playing in Uptown, right next to campus, end of the season. I think we're both tied for second place in the conference right now, so it really does put, like you said, a big punctuation on the end of the season, just kind of, you know, two heavyweights going at it, and you just got to, like I said, keep throwing punches and don't get knocked down. But it's fun. It's going to be really fun. I think we're all excited for it, too. So, yeah, we did not do so hot last year against William Carey, going to their place, getting swept. So we're really fired up. Guys are still got that sour taste in their mouth big time.
And so kind of as we get closer and closer to the end of the season, what are kind of the goals the team has and the attitude kind of around the team right about now?
Yeah, I think goals is just like, don't look ahead. It's easy. Like, in the beginning of the season, you're fired up, you're energetic to play. Just get out there and play games, and you can really focus. But at the end, it's hard to stay focused on the task at hand because, you know, you can see a conference championship, a conference tournament championship, regionals, World Series. Like, it's close, but if you're worried about stuff in the future, you can't do anything in the present. And so, everyone's just trying to stay, you know, cool, like stay focused, and not get outside of ourselves, because that's when we're best. But, I mean, I think guys are excited. As a senior, like, this is my last – I got 2 weekends left of regular season play. And then it'll be my last go-ride, so, you know, hopefully – obviously, conference tournament and regional. Hopefully, we make it to a World Series. But I think we just want to win, so everybody's excited. Like, we still have a chance to win the regular season conference. So, you know, like, we want to win that. We want to go to conference tournament. It's in Jackson, Tennessee this year, so it's a really nice ballpark. It'll be a really fun environment. Conference tournament, it's a blast. You're up there for, if you win, you're up there for 5-6 days maybe. Every year it seems like we get rain, especially in the South. So there's always just a rain delay game where you're sitting around and it's, all right, bus leaves at 12, 11 o'clock runs. All right, bus is leaving at 2 now. 1 o'clock comes. All right, bus is leaving at 5. We're only going to play just our one game today. No one else is playing. All right, they're canceling the whole day. We're going to play at 3 o'clock tomorrow. So you're like, you're sitting in this hotel room. You know, you can see it pouring rain outside. You're trying to, like, you don't want to sleep all day. So you're trying to stay up, everybody's hanging out, playing video games, playing cards. It's a good time. I mean, obviously you got to handle schoolwork because exams are right around the corner, but luckily, you know, you're in a hotel room with not much else to do other than play one game a day. So you play baseball, do a little bit of schoolwork, and then you just get to hang out with everybody on the team for 5-6 hours. It's a lot of fun. We play a lot of VR golf, a lot.
Oh, that sounds very, very interesting. Let's talk a little bit about you. You talked about how you're a graduating senior this year. So what was your major, and what kind of inspired you to take that major?
I'm currently a mass communications major with a focus in public relations. I was originally, when I enrolled in college, a political science major. I did that for 2 years. It was absolutely miserable. I was only taking like one political science class a year or a semester with a bunch of electives, which was really good because I got to take a lot of electives early on and get my core classes out of the way. For when I switched to communications, I got to just focus on all the communication stuff. I learned about the Truman and the Monroe Doctrine every 6 weeks for 2 years in a row. It was really aggravating. But I had a friend who was a friend who was a public relations major. I talked to him about just like not enjoying school, like thinking about changing my major, and he was like, you should really look into public relations. He was like, it's not too hard. He goes, obviously it's not like super easy. It's a really good degree. He said, but it's a lot of hands-on. You're working with other people. He said, I think you'll really enjoy it. It's not just like lectures all semester and then 3 tests to determine your grade. So I changed my major like a week before we started classes in August. So then I'm like scrambling to try to figure out which classes to take that don't mess with the baseball schedule. So that was like 48 hours of just trying to make sure I was in like 15 hours so I could be eligible. I've enjoyed it. It's been a blast. I mean, I've got to meet you doing a bunch of classes, doing a lot of journalism electives. I had a ton of fun. Professors, like, that was the big thing. Like, a lot of my classes were just lectures. You kind of just show up. I'm pretty quiet in class, so, you know, sit in the back of the class, just take my notes, go home, not really interact much. But then in the communications department, you're working with the professors a lot. They're talking to you, they're meeting you. You really get to know them and really get like a personable feel. The first professor I had like that was Lisa Collins. I was taking TV news and production. So I started working with the Maroon Minute, and that was really, really fun. It was the first time I really made like friends outside of the baseball team at school. I got to meet some really cool and talented people, Devin. But it was a lot of fun getting to do things and like interact with other classmates and professors. So I've enjoyed it a ton.
Absolutely. We're really happy to have you over here. And so now I've got some kind of questions that are just kind of a little bit more about you. So what is one dilemma that you currently have that bothers you?
I think my biggest dilemma is it's always either cleaning my house or doing schoolwork. And it's like, I want to clean my house so I have a nice clean workspace area to do my schoolwork. But then by the time I'm done cleaning my house, I'm tired and I don't want to do schoolwork. Or I sit down and do my schoolwork. And by the time I'm done with my schoolwork, my brain's fried and then I don't want to get up and clean the house. So it's kind of this back and forth of like clean, schoolwork, clean, schoolwork. It's good though. It keeps me on my toes about trying to stay clean throughout the day and pick up after myself. I'm a college boy. I've lived on my own at times where I look up, I'm like, oh my God, dude. What have you done the last 2 weeks? You know, there's just plates everywhere. So I've been a lot better now. I'm a little bit older, thank goodness, about being clean. So that's probably my biggest dilemma.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm thinking about how that applies to me. And I'm like, yeah, no, schoolwork usually wins for me too. Who is your favorite athlete in the sport you play?
My favorite athlete in baseball. Well, it's funny. My favorite baseball team is the Mets out of New York. And it's solely because I started focusing on Jacob DeGrom, like film tape. He used to be a pitcher for them. He's a pitcher for the Rangers now. When he's healthy, he's the best pitcher in the league and arguably like the best pitcher of all time. So I started watching the Mets a ton. And I think my favorite player right now is their starting third baseman, Brett Beatty. He was a rookie last year. He's a young kid from Texas. He was pretty hyped up in the minor leagues. So I was like, all right, this kid's going to come up. He's going to be amazing. We're going to be great. And he actually came up and it was bad last year. Came up, got sent back down because he was struggling so bad. And then he came back up at the end of the year, was okay. You know, he's fun. He's young. Like, you can tell he wants to do good. And he's having a breakout season right now. He's hitting like over 300. He's making crazy defensive plays. Especially me as like a natural left-handed kid. I grew up playing center field or first base, but a lot of center field. And when you're like 10 or 11, they don't really hit the ball to the outfield a ton. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of sit out there for like 4 hours a day and just, I don't know, think about the grass, twiddle your thumbs. So I love watching the guys in the infield. You know, I grew up the whole time like, oh, I wish I was right-handed so I could play shortstop. So I love the middle infielders and the third baseman. I have so much respect for them. I think what they do and the plays they make, it's so incredibly hard. They even shout out Jake Mills on our team. He made a play to get us out of a big jam this weekend where we ended up coming back and winning the game. It was this crazy hop behind second base. It like bounces up, looks like it's like going at his face over his head. It's crazy. And he flings the glove up last second, catches it, makes an off balance flip to second base for the out in the inning. And I'm like talking to him, eating. I'm like, dude, how did you make the play? He goes, I don't know, man. I don't know. Got lucky. I was like, but it was pretty cool, wasn't it? And I was like, that was sick.
Mets fan. So I'm a Dodgers fan. So we both kind of live on different ends of the tortured existence spectrum because we're always there and can never close the deal. I know you guys are still working your way up there. But Steve Cohen will probably just pump more money in there.
Yeah, it's nice having Uncle Stevie in there now. I think he paid like $200 million for a stick figure statue. So money's not the object. But yeah, I mean, it's funny. A podcast I listen to about the Mets, the host is always like, I don't know. Like, would I rather just like sit in misery and, you know, never be close and, you know, be the LOL Mets where we never make the playoffs, but like, whatever. Or do I want to be like the Dodgers or even the Astros with two World Series? It's like, we're there every year, but like, you're still not winning it every year. And so it's like, do I want to have that hope all season and then have it crushed? Or do I want to have like my hopes crushed in, you know, middle of June?
Yeah. Look, coming from experience, it's not fun to win 100 games and then get bounced in the first round. It's not.
I know. One of my freshman roommate was he's a diehard Dodgers fan. And in high school, we used to really give it to him when the Dodgers would lose in the World Series. I think they lost in the NLCS and the World Series 3 years in a row. So every day when the Dodgers would lose, we were really big, either Astros or Red Sox fans.
Okay, now I'm going to change the subject because now it's getting painful. So what would you say is your biggest meaningless pet peeve?
Ooh. Oh, the guys laugh. I always say, like, my biggest pet peeves in baseball, but I have, like, a million things. So they're like, which one's the biggest? Because I'm always ranting about stuff. There's something that's really big that now I'm blanking on. But one thing I can't stand in baseball is the, like, dirty mids or the – but when players wear their pants, like, to the top of the ankle, like, it doesn't go all the way down to the cleat or, like – Fernando Tatis wears it, and it looks really cool. His are a little different. They're, like, tailored. But you'll see guys have, like, the elastic band, and it's, like, the bottom part of their shin. It just – it's such a bad look. Like, it looks like baseball players in, like, the 1960s. Who were terrible. They're all plumbers and firefighters. So that's something that really drives me crazy about the uniform. I'm like, either have your pants up at your knee or your pants down. Yeah, it drives me. The tweeners is what people call them, tweeners. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, I get that. That could be, ugh. Okay, now I'm thinking about it. So if you could have dinner with any celebrity, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, that's such a great question. Man, it's like, do I want to go athlete route or do I want to go, like, famous celebrity? Oh, this is such a good question. There's so many good people. I'm thinking, like, not even just American people, like, worldwide. You know, I think... I don't know, someone I've always been intrigued with would be maybe either, like, Roman Empire emperors, like Julius Caesar or someone, or, like, Alexander the Great. I'll stay with Julius Caesar and really talk to him about, my friend used to joke in high school about when he crossed the Rubicon and he declared war on Rome because he brought an army into the city walls or certain area they couldn't do. So just, like, how do you handle being, you know, at the time, he might not have known, but, you know, probably the most infamous emperor of all time for the, you know, Roman Empire, which people study today. And then, you know, being beloved and being hated, it'd be kind of funny to talk to him after his death. Like, did you know what was going to happen? And see his reaction. I think it'd be really cool to just talk to someone from, like, a totally different era and timepiece. Like, I mean, they didn't have things. I mean, they had, like, sewerage, however you say that.
Plumbing.
Yeah, they had plumbing and running water, but, like, I don't really know if, like, they had, like, their toilets. I don't think they had, like, toilets that flushed, you know? Right. So it's like, dude, how do you not have air conditioning? Like, it's got to be miserable.
Right. How did you get on in Italy without air conditioning?
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's really cool. I never even thought about that. I usually go relatively recent, so that's really interesting. And so my last question is... your current career of playing baseball is canceled. And for the sake of imagining, we'll say the sport of baseball never existed in the first place. What do you think you're doing instead?
That's a really good question. Maybe playing football. I'm just kidding. I don't know. It's funny. My dad's an artist. So he's big into art. And both of my parents, I went to a performing arts school as a kid. And so I was really big into music at one time. So, like, I know how to play the cello, the piano, the trumpet, baritone, saxophone, like, a bunch of different instruments. Just being exposed to that. So, I don't know, maybe something in music or, like, working with my hands. I don't ever see myself, hopefully, like, just working a desk job, like, cracking down Excel sheets and, you know, staring at a computer for 8 hours.
Oh, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, hopefully I never get stuck doing that. So, I always think something with my hands, either working inside, working outside, you know, just enjoying what I do. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll say I'd be in music. I really enjoy music.
Grammy Award winner, Stephen Still.
That would be crazy.
It's got a nice ring to it. And so what's next for you after graduation?
I'm not sure. I have a lot of people asking me that and wanting answers. I want to keep trying to play professionally, whether that's, you know, signing or getting drafted, playing in the minor leagues or getting drafted and playing indie ball. I want to keep playing. It's something I really want to do. I love baseball, so not ready to be done yet. So that's plan A for sure if that doesn't work out. I want to get into coaching, preferably college. I like being around baseball. I coached a youth team this summer, and, like, working with a kid and seeing, I mean, even with teammates here, like, you work on something and then they go out in the game and you see the thing that you're working on, like, it works, or you're doing something, like, you know, it's kind of cool. You put a plan together, and then when you go execute the plan, it works. You feel good about that. So I love doing that, being around baseball. Yeah, I want to stay around baseball pretty much, just coaching wherever I can.
Well, all right. That's all the questions I had for you today. We thank you for spending some time with us and talking to us. Wish you the best of luck in the rest of the season, man.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was a blast. Oops.